welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity. Integrative medicine is becoming increasingly popular with a public that wants choice and control in their healthcare and has a far greater awareness of their own ability to influence their quality of life and the outcome of their treatment. My two guests on the show today are a team who are fast becoming a regular feature of the integrative oncology scene, Amanda King and Nick Walton-Cole. Hi, Amanda, Nick. Big welcome to the Yes to Life show.
Hi, Robin.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for the invitation.
So you are both here today as a sort of team as you work together, although with your different backgrounds, I'm expecting a very full discussion on the topic of today's show, which is inflammation. So if there's one thing that the vast majority of my guests on this show have in common is that they all tend to have a backstory, a reason why they got into some particular branch of healthcare, and also why they chose to focus on cancer, which is, let's face it, not the easy choice on the healthcare menu. So maybe Amanda, starting with you, what brought you to being a nutritionist and now describing yourself as an integrative metabolic oncology specialist?
Right. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful. Well,
<It is. laughs>
So really my interest in nutrition goes a long way back. I actually did overcome my own health problems in my early 20s. I wasn't really educated in understanding nutrition, and I found a book. I was diagnosed with reflux, and I was put on omeprazole for life. It was just a thing I was going to now be taking in my early 20s. And I transformed my diet, stopped all the things that were unhealthy that I was doing. And within 6 months, it was gone. I was the healthiest I'd been. I'd completely transformed my own health. And I say just because now I know it's not a just thing, but in my mind back then, just with the power of changing my diet and lifestyle, which the experience is such a great teacher. There's nothing more powerful than that firsthand lived experience, actually. You can read what you like in books, but actually when you've really lived through it, that really is something. So it's kind of set this passion for good health at that sort of early stage when I was a young adult. Then I progressed through. I was studying psychology in my first degree and human biology and raising my kids. And things took a turn where I was able to take my degree in nutrition, the diploma. I then pursued naturopathic medicine in a postgrad setting with the same college and didn't really know what I wanted to do in terms of specializing. So I generalized for a while. And then one day I heard Patricia Pete and Naisha Winters talking at a conference. And it was like they're talking my language. I understand this is where I belong. This is the paradigm. This is how I see things too. And from there, I decided to take Naisha's course and specialise in integrative oncology.
That's interesting. Yeah, nice to be inspired by two of our leading figures there. Amazing. Great. Good story. Thank you very much. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, so I came from a very different background to the one I'm in now. So I studied to a master's level in asset management and actually had a long career in private banking before I'm now a naturopath student. I'm studying to be an MD. Now, I also had a long sporting career. So boxing, surfing, mixed martial arts. And I think throughout the whole of my sporting career, I actually had ongoing inflammation, which turned chronic. And this was due to a number of factors, stress, probably poor dietary advice. And this accumulated in me a few years ago, then just giving up my career and actually starting again and really focusing on myself instead and really focusing on how I can reduce inflammation naturally, how I can change my environment, change my lifestyle to really increase my health span and really bring the focus in on myself and a learning on nutrition to assist that naturally. And I'd echo what Amanda says as well. When you learn this yourself, I guess sometimes the hard way, you know, it really, I think when you speak about it with people, you're able to resonate that, and it has a much more more powerful effect.
Yeah, I think I say almost everybody I've ever spoken to on this show who's involved in nutrition has come from a personal health story. That's what is behind every single one of them, pretty much. So, and it's a powerful thing. That's right. When you've had your own life revolutionized, gone from being a write-off to being perfectly healthy again, for example, through nutrition, well, you know, this is something you want to tell the world about. So, yeah, fantastic. So great. Thanks very much for sharing those. Interesting in your case, Nick, to hear how, you know, what might be thought of as a, you know, very healthy way of living with lots of sport and all the activity and all the rest of it. You can do it wrong as well, that things can actually be working against you if you're not actually looking after yourself in a rounded way.
Yeah, I think such is the advice out there now, be it from mainstream dietitians to the food pyramid, and you know what we're hearing from a lot of sports nutritionists as well. It just seems to be very sort of macro orientated, have protein, recover, with no view for really long term like longevity. You know, how do I keep doing this after I'm 40? You know, and just making sure that these people can really sort of continue to do what they're doing and pain free, and also without heavy medications as well, which seems to be the go to when people start to break down.
Extraordinary, isn't it? How people think it is a perfectly normal thing to do to use pain meds all the time because you're a sports person. I mean, weird. Anyway, that's how it is. You're right. Okay, so as I mentioned, the topic for today is inflammation. I think it's fair to say pretty much everyone agrees that inflammation is a problem, a very big problem, and that it's driving the epidemic of cancer and probably of chronic disease, full stop. I mean, it seems to me that, would you agree that it's maybe every chronic disease, it's inflammation at its heart?
It is a main driver of chronic disease for sure. I mean, you know, it has its sort of foundations, oxidative stress, inflammation, are absolutely known drivers of all chronic diseases.
Right. So it's a natural process, right? It's got a positive role to play in our health and well-being. I mean, Nick, maybe you want to just explain what the process of inflammation is, why we've got it, and what it's meant to be doing, how it can actually help us.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, inflammation is there to help us. This is part of our immune system. It's a great thing. It's got a bad label, but for good reason. Inflammation is there to help us heal. Whether you get a cut, whether you get an impact injury, it helps to protect us, to avoid infection. And that's great. And what that's called is acute inflammation. Okay, so it's like a temporary thing. It's there to fix us, okay? To help in the healing process. Now, the problem comes when the acute becomes chronic. So chronic is just essentially, it's just an ongoing condition. Okay, now the chronic is not good. So a way in which we could get that, say, through an injury is if we don't heal it properly. If we don't heal it properly, if we keep training, or if we're stressed. That might cause some acute inflammation initially, okay? And we all suffer from stress, which is fine. And hopefully it's temporary. If that stress goes on, that creates more inflammation. And it's been shown through studies that then that inflammation causes stress. And we end up in a feedback loop whereby the inflammation then just becomes chronic. And at that point, it becomes very problematic. And as Amanda says, yeah, that way it can create things like radical oxygen species, which are our body's way of essentially trying to attack foreign bodies in our body. But actually, what it can end up doing is attacking us instead, which becomes a problem. So what we need to do here is focus on two things. Acute, fine, that's good. It's there for a reason. But what we want to do is avoid the long-term, the chronic, and work and come up with really coping strategies for that.
Okay, Amanda, do you want to go on and say a bit more about chronic inflammation now? So we distinguish the good from the bad here. Nothing wrong with inflammation, but chronic inflammation is another beast and has issues.
It is, and chronic inflammation is endemic in our society, and it's down to many factors. Some of those have been mentioned. A big one is stress. When we're stressed, our levels of inflammatory cytokines like TNF, tumor necrosis factor, are increased. We can measure for these on blood tests. So we can actually see markers of inflammation according to, you know, if it's constantly elevated, then obviously it is a chronic situation. From a nutritionist point of view, there are dietary impacts as well. So in fact, we're looking at pro-inflammatory foods. And when we look at the modern Western diet, it's all pro-inflammatory. You know, if you don't cook it yourself, if it's not real food, then it's, you know, deep fried, it's wheat-based, grain-based. These have pro-inflammatory omega-6 oils in them. All the seed oils are being pushed, actually, by certain areas in science at the moment. In particular, the British Nutrition Foundation have done some research recently to promote the benefits of omega-6 oils, which we need in a small amount, but certainly not in the quantities that people are eating in modern society. And these kinds of oils are vegetable oils, rapeseed oil, sunflower oil, and they're everywhere. They're stable. They have a long shelf life. They're cheap to mass produce. So of course, big food is going to be pushing these sorts of foods out, but they're not really supposed to be a part of our diet. And so these omega-6 oils drive the inflammatory process. They get filtered down to make something in the body called arachidonic acid, which then is used as a substrate to make these cytokines. And these cytokines are immune markers that then go into attack our healthy tissues if it's chronic. And they also facilitate cancer. So inflammation, which is what we're talking about with these cytokines, inflammation is a known hallmark of cancer. And it's actually changes in the tumor microenvironment that mean we have a lot more of these cytokines that actually facilitate growth, angiogenesis, and proliferation.
To be clear here, this is about creating an environment in your body which is actually rather favorable for things like cancer and other chronic disease. Interesting. So, yeah, I know that you've got a particular beef, a vendetta with these seed oils, for a good reason, I'm sure, you know, because as you say, they are everywhere. But of course, that's just one of the things that's supporting this inflammatory lifestyle. You've mentioned stress already. Do you want to say a bit more about the other things that are underlying this inflammatory lifestyle and a bit more about stress, in fact, because I think you can't overstate what a big player that is in this whole thing.
No, I think you're right. And actually, the vast majority of people who I work with, I often say, you know, was there a stressful event that preceded the diagnosis? And invariably there was. It seems like our bodies are dealing with various stresses in the modern world. You know, we're working more than 9 to 5 jobs, two parents working in the family, lots and lots of media, electronic devices. It's just a constant demand for attention and very little let up. And I mean, the stress factor is so multifaceted. You could say in many ways we're living collectively in cities, but all divided from each other. And, you know, this kind of breakdown of community means we're sort of losing our sense of belonging, which is so intrinsic to our humanity, to who we are. And I think it's been shown with the blue zones that we have better outcomes when people are parts of communities. And these are like low-level stresses. They're all factors that come in to create this picture. And then there's one big event, whatever that might be, and the body, you know, the immune system is under so much pressure, it cannot cope with the amount of damage that's occurring due to stress. Maybe it's compounded with diet, sedentary living, electronics, lots and lots of EMFs, for example, and you kind of reach this critical point.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I'm glad you mentioned the isolation thing because, yeah, I think social isolation is major in this country and generally in sort of developed countries. It's one of the spin-offs of our kind of electronic style of living, you know, where people don't eat together anymore. They don't spend time together. They've all got their own little device which they're hooked onto in an unreal world. Mm. And yeah, it's shocking how much effect that's having. I've had somebody on the show recently that's talked about the mental health of this country. We are equal bottom with Ukraine out of 82 countries for our mental health. I mean, it's just stunning. And that is all tied up with stress, basically, and isolation. Those two things together are at the root of this very poor mental health. But of course, it goes a lot further than that, as you point out. It actually is kind of a worried way of living, if you like, which actually is just acting on our bodies all the time. That feeling of not being at home, not being okay, things being wrong constantly. We're in sort of vigilance and generally worrying about things.
I think that's the thing, Robin. It's again, we go back to acute and chronic. Mm. Like, stress is there for a reason. It's a response by our bodies, like the fight or flight, you know. But we don't want to stay in that condition for too long. We need breaks from it. We need to take active breaks and work out ways in which we can actually manage that. So whether it's going for a run, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's listening to some music that give you some sort of calm, we all need to take those breaks so that simply the acute doesn't become chronic. Mm. And then we end up in this feedback loop.
Yeah,
I think that's really important, actually, and that's making me think about something I've been talking to a couple of patients this week about, which is actively managing stress. And it sounds a bit sort of woolly, maybe even wishy-washy, but actually saying there is this link with stress and inflammation. In fact, depression is seen now as a condition of inflammation.
Yes.
If we want to take responsibility and be empowered to take responsibility for our health, it starts even at these kinds of levels. So if, for example, we start to just pay attention and notice, Where are we becoming stressed? How does it seem to escalate? How does it feel when I'm at 10 out of 10? How does it feel when I have no stress? And how does it feel when I'm halfway through? How does it feel when I'm escalating? And something like saying, I pledge to myself, if I get to a 6 out of 10 on the stress scale, I'm going to look around me and say, right, it's now escalating. I know what the consequence of that is. I'm going to change the situation. And it's a very small thing, but this genuinely has physiological consequences, and taking active steps to manage the environment, to take responsibility for our well-being in that way, has long-term positive consequences too.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. That raising of awareness, I think, is very important, because there is this terrible thing, which is just like what we're used to. You know, if we're used to something, it seems normal, even though it might actually be terrible. And I think that statistic about the health of our nation is a great wake-up call. What we're used to in Britain is being bottom, along with Ukraine, which is being bombed as we speak, you know. And it's a shocking to see how bad our mental health is. And that's actually what we're used to. So a raising of awareness to realise that actually we are stressed out by very ongoing difficulties in this country and ongoing isolation is very important. And then we can begin to say, okay, there is actually a problem here. Normal is not okay. I need to start addressing it in some way. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to wake up to.
It is true.
Okay, so talking about diet, okay, one of the difficulties with diets is that there's actually so many issues involved, you know, so many things about a diet. I think it's difficult to separate the big ones from the lesser ones. So, you know, overall, in this very short period of history, you know, in looking at the long picture, it's really a very short time. We've gone from being generally lean, you know, weight problems really the exception, metabolically fitter, and pretty much never, ever contemplating your diet in any way. People just ate what they were used to. They ate what they liked eating. But since then, there are so many factors that have changed, each of which could be foundational to our metabolic demise. But there's got to be some sort of hierarchy here. I mean, which factors do you think are the most detrimental about the changes in our diet?
Okay, so the major detrimental factors, it's going to be the way that the food is processed now. You know, there are so many things, but the first thing that springs to mind is oily fish and omega-3s. You know, we're not, many people I speak with are not only not eating oily fish, so that they're not getting omega-3s from their diet, or they're in very, very small amounts, and they're also not supplementing to make up for the shortfall because they don't know they need to. And yet the brain is made up of 60% omega-3 fatty acids. And we need to have these omega-3s so that we can have a healthy nervous system. And they're actually anti-inflammatory oils. So without, or fatty acids. So without that kind of continuous input, we're just prone to overreacting to all of these inflammatory drivers.
Yeah, I think gut health in particular is so important, because we hold somewhere near 70 to 80% of our immune system in our gut. So of course, if we have good gut health, then we should be able to have a well-modulated immune system. The ways in which we can do that and promote good gut health are ensuring that we don't eat anything that will aggravate it. You know, certain people will be more sensitive to wheat, and I'd encourage everybody to take a test to do that. I've survived 40-odd years, and I think, like you said, Robin, it's a barometer. I just thought it was natural just to have an upset stomach. And then all of a sudden I find out I'm quite sensitive. And now I can see it. I see when I eat bread. Even last week, I ate it one day, and now I get a trigger of inflammation straight after. It was almost immediate. It was really, really obvious. So making sure that you're aware of any sensitivity to your gut. These can cause perforations in it. When we cause perforations in our gut, what it can allow is antigens, so anything that's foreign to our body, to pass through the gut lining. What this does is trigger your immune system. Your immune system says, look, there is something here. I do not recognize it. I'm just going to attack it. And how does it attack it? With inflammation. So good gut health is key. And, you know, it's not a one-way process. You can heal your gut as well. And with broths, with probiotics, there are lots of ways in which you can actually heal the damage done.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and what about if you were to give a hierarchy of the most important things apart from the changes in diet that were detrimental to our metabolic health, what would they be?
Yeah, I think everybody will agree we're in a consumerist society and we're encouraged to see ourselves as lacking something. And so we need to buy or consume things to complete our sense of being. So there's a kind of existential spiritual aspect to that, actually, which could be addressed. And I think that there is, you know, there are certain areas where people are pushing to develop more spirituality within society. And there are ways that individuals obviously pursue that path. But there does seem to be a bit of a kind of dearth in modern society of that aspect. It's not really looked at. And where I was going with that in terms of the consumerism is actually towards physically consuming. So it's, you know, the kind of typical diet is wake up, have breakfast, most important meal of the day, have breakfast, have a snack mid-morning, have lunch. They're all going to be fairly carbohydrate-based. You know, you've got your cereal, a biscuit, a sandwich, maybe a snack, fruit mid-afternoon to be healthy, and pasta for dinner, and maybe a supper. And it's eating, what, 16 hours of the day. And when you're eating, you're in a growth or inflammatory kind of state. You're in it's small m, capital T-O-R. So you're driving a growth process. If people were, and I don't think that they're separate actually, but I think if having long periods of time without eating, so intermittent fasting, is a really simple way to reduce inflammation and to bring health back. So just reducing that consumer mindset is a real great way to do that. I think that's really important.
Right.
The metabolic.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned consumerism. And one of the things that, the thing about consumerism is choice, and I get it right now, whatever it is, yeah? And one of the things that when you look at the many changes there have been is this immense choice that we have in front of us, all of it instantly available. And that's been created by all sorts of means that we wouldn't necessarily approve of in these circles. But nonetheless, it's all there. And we've ended up eating diets that are totally unfamiliar to us. They may be very familiar in Bali or somewhere, but, you know, we've ended up eating things which are literally are genetically, you know, we're not used to at all. And do you think that's a factor in the issues we're seeing?
I think so. I think it's a huge, to be honest, I wouldn't call some of the things we eat, could you call it food?
Well, yeah, that's another matter.
It's not even food, really. And so you're right, you know, we have Stone Age genes. Our genes, our genetic, you know, our genetic profile, if you like, our blueprint hasn't changed. We have some polymorphisms and some changes that have adapted, mutations, if you like, over the centuries. But basically, we thrive under those innate conditions, which is real food, meat, eggs, fish, natural foods. So when we introduce all of these unnatural foods, there's quite a bit more to it. Not only are the foods not fit for an optimal health scenario at best, they're also, you know, grown with glyphosate or other kinds of pesticides. So we're getting those into our gut. And as Nick says, a healthy gut is essential for the immune system. And glyphosate will wreck the gut. We also have plastics and microplastics through our food and the wrappers. And these mimic estrogen in the body. So we end up with hormonal issues. There's just so many things, issues with our modern
food. Yeah. Absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, well, look, we're getting in towards the end. I just want to ask about the other side of the picture, the positives, okay? The best strategies for reducing inflammation ongoingly, day to day, for anybody, and particularly for people who are sick with, say, cancer?
So because we have a kind of modern problem, in a way, we need a kind of modern solution. So we do have some very good supplements at our that are available. And I would suggest and do suggest that if, you know, just to manage inflammation, if there is a condition, consider things like liposomal curcumin, boswellia, and especially those omega-3 fish oils, increasing oily fish in the diet, managing stress, getting a good night's sleep, exercising. Maybe Nick's got some other ideas.
Yeah, I mean, on exercising, certainly, yeah. I mean, you don't need to go to the gym. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners as well will be restricted in terms of what time they have to put into this. So you just need to get out for 30 minutes, 4 or 5 times a week. And you don't need to run. Just go out, set a brisk pace, do whatever you can. And that in itself has been proven to vastly reduce inflammation. And also, you know, you're going to get that result of it simply from the exercise alone, but also it will bring down your stress levels as well. So you're going to get a really twofold effect. Exercise is key. You don't need to do a lot. Just 4 or 5 times a week, whatever you can, 30 minutes, try and get your heart rate up a little bit. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I just want to build on that idea that actually you can multitask when it comes to doing good stuff.
Yeah.
And the exercising, as you say, is actually addresses a lot of things in one go. The sedentary lifestyle obviously is inflammatory in itself. That's good. But it reduces your stress levels for sure. But, you know, you do it in nature and you get all the benefits that nature brings, which we're finding out a huge amount more of recently. And that those benefits are at every level, from the biochemical to the spiritual. And then even better, go out and exercise in nature with friends.
With friends. And in the UK, you're so lucky because you have park runs, you have social walks, all over the place. And they're so easily accessible. You can build in the social element to it as well. A threefold effect.
Okay. And you're both avid writers. I'm interested to hear a bit about this. You're pouring out carefully crafted content day after day. Can you say what drives each of you to write, and what aspect of communicating via the written word you find the most satisfying?
So what drives me to write, and what do I write about? So I write from my own personal experience, my own experience in sports and nutrition, in terms of my autoimmunity, which I suffer from. I have ankylosing spondylitis, which essentially causes chronic inflammation, which is why this is such a particular interest to me. So with my personal experience, I'm able to communicate it in a way that I hope everybody's able to understand. And I bring in my learning as well as a student ND, to really communicate this in the best way for even the layman. I think for me, I enjoy writing so much because it helps me to learn as well, because I know when I write something, it absolutely needs to be correct, and I really need to know my subject, because I need to write it in such a way that everybody will understand. Yeah. And I try and do it in a fun way as well.
Right. How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I love writing, and I've been writing for various magazines for years now. It's maybe 5 years. I've been writing for local magazines, and more recently, in the last few years, online magazines. I write for currently 2 or 3. And also I write as the Metabolic Nutritionist on Substack, where I specifically write there every once or twice a week. I'll release an article, and it's about nutrition for cancer, off-label drugs for cancer, therapies and supplements for cancer. And so I love researching. I love learning and channeling the inner nerd. So what drives my writing is when there's something I'm particularly interested in, I will just take it apart, find out everything about it, reference it, and package that and put that out. And when I began doing this, it wasn't really with any massive intention, but it's caught on, and it seems to be well received.
Very much. Yeah.
So with one of the magazines that I've been writing for about 4 years, and this is with actually the company who provides insurance for many of us practitioners. I think it's global, actually, but certainly in the UK. And their magazine is Health and Wellbeing magazine. I've written several articles for them. It's been monthly for several years on all sorts of topics, not just cancer, all sorts of stuff. And more recently, Nick has begun writing for them too.
All right. Well, look, we're about out of time. For people who are interested to find out more about you, what's a good place for them to go?
Okay, yeah, on Substack, it's a platform where there are many writers. And my stack is called The Metabolic Nutritionist, and you can find it on that platform by just typing that in, and up will come all of the archives.
Okay, and people can sign up and receive your ongoing writings.
Yeah, exactly. It's free to subscribe, and there is a paid subscription as well, which is where you obviously get more content. But there's plenty of content for everybody.
Excellent. And how about you, Nick?
Yeah, and I write as Element Nutrition on Substack, and your readers can read about autoimmunity, inflammation, general nutrition, hormone health, and a wide array of subjects on there. So, and they can also communicate with me as well.
Excellent. Good. Thanks both so much for joining me today for a very interesting chat about what, after all, is an extremely important topic. So really good to hear from you both.
Great.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
See
you.
Thanks both. Amanda mentioned that she writes for the Health and Wellbeing magazine. I've not come across this before, so I thought I'd have a brief word with the people behind the magazine, which is produced by Foyt, to find out a little bit more. I'm speaking to Sam Rowley and Andrew Slater. Hi, Sam and Andrew. Very nice to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
So you're here as representatives of Foyt, which is a kind of unusual name. Why is it called Foyt? Where did that come from?
So a bit of a long story, but our boss, Nick, he was trying to find a word that people would remember and it would be slightly different. So actually the word Foyt came up before we actually put words to it. And these days, if you ask someone what does Foyt stand for, it's focus on your health today.
Right. Okay. Great. So maybe you each want to tell us what your role is at Foyt, what you do for the organization.
Absolutely. So I'm fairly new to the organization. I've been here for a quarter of a year, something like that. Started earlier this year, which is really exciting. And so I'm still learning a lot about Foyt. Sam is giving me lots and lots of hints and tips as I pick things up. But as I understand it, Foyt is it's an organization which brings together health and well-being practitioners from across the globe to be able to network, support each other, and publicize their work. So my main role is to connect with groups. So it's great to speak with the people, yes, to learn about what they're doing and see how can we collaborate with them, attend their conferences, publicize them, and mutually support each other to progress things forward.
Interesting. And you, sir?
So As Andrew said, BOIT is the Association for Professional Therapists and Practitioners. With BOIT, there's different levels of the membership, and depending which level you choose, there are different benefits. One of the benefits being the Health and Wellbeing magazine, which is really popular, and I'm the editor of the Health and Wellbeing magazine.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. Let's have a little roundup then of what, I mean, I'm a practitioner and I get interested in FOIT. What's it got on offer for me?
So as a practitioner, you can sign up to our global directory. That's free to use. Just pop yourself on there, showcase what you're working on, what your services are that you offer. But you can also become a paid member where you can therefore get extra benefits, access to discounts from other providers, or to tools and services that help you expand your network, tools online that help you build websites or publicize materials, advice and training on how to use social media to push your name out there so that more people can come and become your customers, your clients, so you can support more people. And it's also a great place to network, to show your events. If you're running any events locally, people can find out about those on our events page as well. And eventually, a lot of people find that once they're connected to BOIT, they then think, actually, I need my insurance as a practitioner to run my company, to have that extra level of protection if something goes wrong or if there is a case against me in some way, whether that has any backing or any reality to it or not. And they can also get insurance through us, which since BOIT have about 8,000 members at present, we're able to get a decent level of insurance at quite a reasonable cost compared to some competitors. And because BOIT has this organization that's so broad, its membership base, we're able to support and take in and get insurance for practitioners in a very wide array of services that they provide, different modalities.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, thanks. And Sam, do you want to tell us a little bit more about the magazine?
So the Health and Wellbeing magazine is public facing. So if you're anywhere around the world, you have access to our magazine. It's a mixture of all sorts of wonderful things that are health and wellbeing related. So one of our regular writers is Amanda King. She's a metabolic nutritionist, and she's a naturopath and nutritionist, and she specializes in integrative metabolic oncology. And she has written some really wonderful articles. One of the ones that stuck in my head was, what is integrative oncology? Then there was another one, omega-3 fats and cancer, and the animal proteins and cancer. And she's also got some amazing recipes, the kimchi recipe and turmeric latte. And going forward, she has an understudy. His name's Nick, and he'll be an MD in the next couple of years. And he has a focus on nutrition for autoimmunity. And this month coming up, he will be writing his first article for the Health and Wellbeing magazine. So I'm really excited to see what he comes up with. The one other thing I thought that we might need to mention is that there's also a geodirectory, which is really helpful. That it's free for you to become a Connect member, so you can just add yourself onto the geo directory, and that will help pretty much people find you when they're searching. So, for example, if they're looking for a nutritionist, they can pop it in, and you can select your area and it'll pop up with all the nutritionists in your area, so you can get in touch with them.
Mm. So this is the other side, if you like. We talked about how this is for professionals and practitioners, but actually it is of interest to just the general public in terms of finding practitioners in their area or practitioners who specialise in a particular modality that they're looking for. So this is a searchable online directory, presumably.
Right, so yes, and the topics on the magazine that Sam was referring to are very wide-ranging, so you can browse the magazine through different categories of lifestyle, nutrition, but also animals, animal care, and many, many others. I enjoy showing people around the website because every time I look at it myself, I find new things. You look under one of the lifestyle category and see that there are sort of 67 different pages of 8 or 9 articles, so several hundred articles just about lifestyle in health and wellbeing context. So there's a lot of information that is appropriate to anyone.
Right. So all the magazine content is available to the general public. It's not just the members. That's great. Okay. So it's a really good resource. Okay. Well, thanks very much, both of you, Sam and Andrew, for dropping by on the show. Tell us all about Voigt. Listeners, if you want to know more, you should look at their website, which is voigt.org. And Voigt is spelled F-O-Y-H-T. So thanks again, both of you.
Wait, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining me today. It's always a great pleasure to be able to introduce you to such amazing, knowledgeable guests each week. I hope you can listen again next week, and I'll be back with another guest for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.